Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation panel call on the 18th of July, 2019. In the call, we have Michael, Marjana, Dennis, Matt, and Pitinan. Over to you, Marjana.
So the first item in the agenda is to continue the discussion about the paper that is produced and we have discussed last time. So I will give a leading role to Dennis, and probably will remember when we have stopped last time.
Dennis, you want me to share, or you want to share your screen?
Yeah, I will try to share my screen. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see. Share. And why is that? I see so many pages here. Okay, so it should be this one. Okay, let me see. So, do you see the Google Doc on your screen?
Yes.
Okay, what I lost is the, I don't see, oh yeah, okay, so I want to see if people are chatting or, hold on a second, chat, there you go, all right, okay. So last time we were reviewing this document, recapping what the issues and the facts are around the IDNA 2003 compatibility regarding the Sharp S. And we stop at looking what Makeout prepare a diagram, which I find very confusing. I send my comments to the list to him as well, but since I don't see any modification of this chart, I would just disregard it at this point because it's not, I don't know what it's solving for, and it has many incorrect assumptions. For example, assuming that under EDINET 2008, FASS will change to FA Sharp S, which is incorrect. So I think the way forward, what I recommend us doing is to, given all the options that we have laid out and the facts on the issues, is to use these, what I put it here on the document, use a weighted decision matrix in order to measure where we land in terms of the different options, right, which are on columns. And based on attributes for each of the, measure the attributes, I mean, the rating of the attributes against each of the options, right? So, and just let me fix this, because we fix it on the defer inclusion of, there you go. So let me pause here and hear any reactions as to proposal to move forward. And I see Hans Mats, please go ahead.
Thank you. You say here defer inclusion, but that is not what we have talked about earlier when it comes to other code points. So I don't know why we should talk about defer inclusion when it comes to Sharp S instead of exclusion, as we have talked about previously.
Right, thank you, Matt. So let me respond to that. So exclusions, yes. I mean, originally we talk about exclusion of the Sharp S, but reading again the LGR procedure, it's a option for the panels to Well, we're not saying just excluded and never include, never include that character, right? We know that in the facts gathering that some browsers have moved completely to support IDNA 2008. Others are not there yet. They are on the IDNA 2008 with transitional mode. So maybe at some point in time, they are going to transition fully to the to support the protocol in full. So in that case, that then it makes sense for the character to be included again. So it's not that we, I mean, at least the way I see it is that we're not saying excluded and never ever consider inclusion, but our opinion is, or our opinion would be of deferred inclusion because of these reasons. And whenever these reasons are fully addressed, then you can start considering the inclusion again. That's why changing the word exclusion to defer inclusion, because the latter explains why is that it's not, it would not be within the first version of the Latin LGR. Does that help, Matt?
Well, I understand what you mean, but that is also true of any character that we have not found evidence for. If we find evidence, oh, we missed that language or we misunderstood something, then that character could be included in the future. So I don't see this as something special. I mean, anything that we have excluded, or most things that we have excluded, could be included later.
Well, technically, we did not exclude it. We just didn't include it, right? It's we're doing the LGR. We're doing using the inclusion principle, not
right,
the exclusion principle.
So that is the same thing here. I don't see the difference between sharp S if we decide not to include it. I don't see any difference between sharp S and some other characters that we have not included. So I don't know why we should talk about defer inclusion when it comes to sharp S if we don't talk about defer inclusion when we talk about other characters that technically could be included if there were support for it. So I think that we should be consistent about the way we look at the characters.
I think we're just trapped into wording, Matt. And do we agree that either, right, it's exclusion? The way I see it is that when you say exclusion is that you look at it and you have reasons to exclude it, right? Explicitly exclusion. With no, and exclusion just means it's not excluded. I mean, for me, it would, under the principles of the LGR, it would not have other way to be included because it was excluded on purpose. If we present it as defer inclusion, there's a reason for that. And later on, when the reasons for defer are satisfied, then you can include it. But I mean, again, it's just a wording. It's a wording. Do we agree that not having, so one of the options is not having this code point in the repertoire in order to address the compatibility issue? Do we agree on that?
I agree that this is a question of wording, and I think we should be consistent on wording. I think we should talk about other code points as being deferred included if we talk about this as being deferred included. I don't see the difference. That's my point.
Okay, yeah, okay. We can talk about wording later, but one of the options is not having this character to address the compatibility issue. Yeah. So that's option one. Either referral or excluded on this version of the LGR, that's option one, right? The option two is inclusion with a variant relationship where sharp S is allocatable to SS. The other option is inclusion with variant relationship where sharp S has a variant relationship with SS but block disposition. And the fourth option is inclusion with no variant relationship at all. So those are the four options that we have looked at. So I think next would be to assign a weight to, or that's on the four options. Do we agree on these four options? Matt, is that a new hand? Matt, if you're speaking, you're on mute.
Yes. So, yes, it's a new hand. The other way around, from SS to sharp S, it could be that it's sharp S to SS allocatable, but SS to sharp S is blocked, or it's allocatable, right? So there are more options, I think.
Yes, and the reason we did not include those as viable is because of the variant relationship has to be symmetry. This is position, don't have to be, but I think there was some kind of agreement as to it's not reasonable to think that a double S, a sequence of SS, needs to be allocatable to a sharp S. And that's why it's not in this table. But I mean, for completeness, we can aggregate the two, all the options, but it's going to be very extensive option because you have to do all the permutations of the disposition values.
At least we have to remember that we have to remember to state that there is, even if we don't show it in the table.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agree. Yeah. Okay. So looking at the chat, Michael, sorry for you. Okay. He says, don't think deferring, let alone exclusion, is an option at this point. Michael. Right, postpone the warning. Yeah, I agree. Right. So, Michael, do you care to elaborate on why it's not an option? And what do you mean it's not an option? It's an option, but can you elaborate?
Yes,
Yeah, Michael, go ahead.
So, look at the choices in terms of location.
Michael, your voice is coming in. Your voice is not coming through.
Yeah, Michael, your communication, your line is very choppy, so we cannot hear you. If you can... disconnect and connect.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so I was trying to say that logically it is an option, but if we look at permutation of whatever factors are on the table, there are further options as Matt pointed out. But I would tend to agree with Matt's view that in the light of the fact that we do have supporting evidence for its use, it's not really an option because there would be other characters which then would also have to be looked at why they're not included or why they are not excluded at this point. Thank you.
Okay, but I'm not sure how that reconciled. So we have to solve for stability, right? Do we agree on that? Am I asking everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. So let's focus on the matrix. So one attribute is that the solution that we choose or that we're looking at has to preserve the stability of the root zone. Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. Do we agree? Do we have an agreement that the all, one of the other attributes, I mean, instability, you can look at in two different ways as defined in this document. One problem is that denial of service when the, if there is a variant, the variant does not exist or is blocked or something, so that the result is that the user, you know, ends up in a different domain name that, you know, it goes simply goes dead. And misconnection is the problem where there is a variant domain name and or something different, right? In the case of a browser, for example, Chrome, that redirects the domain name to a different one, and there is a different website which the user was not expecting. So misconnection is more dangerous than denial of service, right? On the first one, on the former one, denial of service, you basically end up to a blank page or 404, right? Whereas in the misconnection, you arrive, land to a totally different website, which is not expected. Do we have agreement on those type of problems? On this case of, in the context of the stability of this sharp S. You don't have to speak, but at least you can use your Zoom buttons to say yes, no, or raise your hand if you want to speak, please. Okay, so Mats, that's a yes. Jana, yes. Michael wants to speak. Please, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, this line 2 prevents the denial of service, and line 3 prevents misconnection. Are those sub-items of the first line, preserve stability of the root zone, or are they independent of that?
That's a good question, Michael. So
since to me it sounds they are sub-items, and then it's strange to have scoring or rating for the super item as well as the sub-items. It makes it really complicated, I think.
Mm-hmm. Got it. It could be, the stability is defined by these those two items, so we can use the two sub items because they provide more granularity as to what the stability issues are, and just remove the row above.
Okay.
All right, sounds like a good. Michael says yes. Mirjana, yes. Michael, please go ahead.
I agree with that suggestion. I wanted to say something else.
Go ahead, Michael.
Unmute your phone, Michael.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I was trying to say that I also commented in the document above on the point of misconnection, that it seems to me that the issue is a bit more complex and that actually several issues fall under this. And isn't there also the case where, for example, a registrar which does not pay due attention may allocate the two labels separately to different registrants, giving way to spoofing? Because this seems to be like misconnection is more complex than just one issue. Thank you.
Dennis, your phone is muted.
I'm sorry. So I was saying that we are talking about top-level domain names make ratios are work at the second-level domain name. And if we look at what DNIC does is that they treat the sharp S and the sequence of double S as different domain names, right? They use it in different domain names. So that case already exists today. But again, we are looking at this for the root zone, not second level domain names.
Okay, but isn't the same issue also applicable to the root zone?
Can you define again problem? Because I'm different, right? Misconnection is you enter a domain name and something happens and you end up on a different one. That's a mixed connection. I don't see how registrar, either registrars or you know, whatever ratio operators do in terms of registrations affects that.
Let me think of an example, please.
Okay. All right. So I was trying to find the strike through here, which I don't find. So I will just remove this label. I think we can, there you go. All right. So the third attribute, one that has been talk about or at least discuss is the availability at the top level, right? Some of you defend the fact that sharp S should be included in the LGR and therefore availability at the top level, that's what it means. Do we have an agreement? This is a attribute that we should measure? Okay, I see. Hasem, you can use the buttons or... Meika, do you have an opinion, a different opinion as to availability on the LGR?
Sorry, can you repeat your question? I was still thinking about trying to summarize my previous question in writing.
Sure. I was asking if we are in agreement that one of the attributes in order to measure the solution is the availability of the sharp S in the LGR. So the third row in the matrix availability at the top level means that, right?
Availability in the sense of inclusion in the LGR?
Correct.
Well, personally, I don't think it's a factor. Logically, it is a factor. Personally, I consider it more like a, what's the term? Like a constant.
What do you mean?
That is, since based on our previous analysis, we have supporting evidence that it's used widely and in a stable manner. The question is, how our solution affects those other two factors, but it's not one of the factors we are weighing against one another, at least in my mind.
Right, but yeah, we know there's evidence that character is used in, you know, in language, in everyday language. But here we are talking about the stability of the root zone and inclusion of any character into the LGR has to preserve the stability of the root zone. Just the fact that one character is used in in language, it's just not enough, right? That's one of the principles by which we are supposed to build up the repertoire. Okay, moving on. Yeah, Meika, do you want to say something?
Yeah, it was my impression that the stable use of character in a language is enough evidence, and that we actually need strong evidence against the inclusion of such a character. So for me, the pyramid is turned around, but I'm not sure how this helps resolve this issue at this point. So let's just go on maybe. Thank you.
Okay. You can clear your boats now. Last, for now, attribute is usability as to predictable behavior of DNS labels using this character. Do we agree that's a attribute that we should measure against the options? And we're not talking about predictable behavior as to how humans look at this character, but how DNS behaves in the presence of this character. Mats, please go ahead.
Actually, this is outside of DNS. DNS is very predictable, because if you enter something with an A label that is represents a U label with sharp S, it will respond to that. And if you enter something with double S, it will respond to that. DNS does not do any, never ever do any conversion between U label and A label, and not between double S and sharp S. Not even in IDN 2003 is DNS involved in that conversion. That's outside of DNS.
Dennis, you might be on mute if you're speaking.
Yeah, sorry. I was saying that I agree with you, Matt, in terms of fundamentally, yeah, DNS is not doing anything wrong. But thinking about DNS in the larger context of applications resolving labels, right? Because the DNS resolution starts with an application sending a label to resolve. So thinking about in that context, is the behavior predictable, right? If a user is using Chrome and enters a label using the sharp S, does he end up in the label that he was he input? And the same user goes to a computer using a different browser like Firefox, or I don't know which one is fully compliant with IDN 2008, he will get a different experience. So same user, different computers, then you have different behavior, which is not desirable for the root zone, or any domain name for that matter. I don't know which order the hands were raised, so I will go with just, you know, top down. So Michael and then Matt.
Yes, thank you. So as I also tried to write in a comment to this item, I think that linguistically this strongly overlaps with misconnection, because misconnection relates to linguistic expectations. So if we speak about usability in the terms of what a user expects to happen. This is like a linguistic expectation, and this relates to misconnection. If you speak about predictable behavior in terms of what applications do or any kind of other applications which make reference to this system here, I think this is out of our scope because it's out of our hands. Currently, we do have one system we identified where there's kind of like a discrepancy or like a non-standard conformance across all possible platforms and clients. But further such issues could appear in the future. And as both Mats and you just agreed, this is outside of the scope of DNS. Yet in your reply to this comment, you said, we are not speaking about online identifiers or words, we are talking about DNS behavior. Well, my understanding from Mats' comment, and I would agree with that, is that this has nothing to do with DNS. This has to do with something which reflects back to DNS, and that is outside of our scope. So I only see the linguistic factor here. I'm not sure what the technical factor is, but again, I come from a linguistic background. I hope that's clear. Thank you.
Mats?
Yeah, let's call it label resolution then, instead of mixing in some DNS.
Okay. So what exactly, Mats, do you want to change that?
No, but when you talk about the predictable behavior, it's the label resolution, which is not predictable. It's not the DNS resolution.
Is that better?
Yeah, well, yeah, you talked about that DNS resolution, and that's what I reacted on. And I think we should talk about that label resolution. I mean, how is the label resolved?
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. So just quickly to react to Michael's comment. So what I said was, strictly speaking, yeah, DNS, it's not that the DNS is functionally wrong, but in the larger context of DNS, all the applications that are part of the ecosystem, one of those, which is the browser, certain browsers, not all the browsers, certain browsers are behaving in a different way. And that's why it's given a different user experience depending on which computer's browser a user is using. All right, so going back to the matrix, are there any other attributes that we should look at? Mats, I guess that's a no. Anybody else? Personally, I don't think there are any other attributes to measure at this point. Michael says can't think of any at the moment. Michael, are your hands up, please go ahead.
I was still trying to explain the thing I said earlier about misconnection being more complex and being more than just one factor. I was still in the process of writing it, but I didn't get around because I was trying to follow up the discussion. So I think there may be another factor, but I need to explain it in writing so you can respond to it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll react to that whenever you share it with us. Okay, so for the moment, we have these attributes and we have these four options, right? Noting that the variant relation, the reverse variant relationship of double S to sharp S could be, you know, handled in just differently as to separate in order not to make this matrix more complex. Megal, is that a new hand? Okay. So now next on this matrix would be to assign a weight to each of the attributes, and following that is to rate each of the attributes against or based on the solution. So at this point, we need to assign a percentage. Everything has to, I mean, all the attributes need to sum up to 100. So how do we measure, what's the right percentages that we want to attribute to each one of these attributes here? Mats, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that prevents misconnection and predictable label resolution are more important than prevents denial of service and availability at the top level. So if I should say percentage, maybe
20, 30. Sorry, I was on mute. So I was saying that thank you, Matt. So that's a good conversation study, if you will. So something to react to. So I think we agree that preventing misconnections and predictable label resolution are the most important factors in this matrix, and then you have the other two there, availability and denial of service. I would even raise preventing denial here a little bit more than availability. But that's just me. What?
I think I agree on that.
Right. So I think we can move this to, no, sorry, it was not it, things. So this would be a 15, and then we have 100. So Michael is of the opinion that availability is more important than usability. So you understand, Michael, you are saying that it's more important to have that label regardless of the inconsistent behavior.
I don't
agree with that. Can you elaborate on why is that having inconsistent behavior is more important than trying to solve that for that problem?
Okay, so I understood the situation in the following sense. Availability means the character is included in the repertoire. Usability means it doesn't behave predictably or it doesn't resolve predictably in some labels. As we understand, the usability, this resolving predictably in a label, is a temporary issue which we expect to be fixed at some point and only applies to a subpart of the applications which kind of make use of this. But the availability at the top level applies to the entire part or to the entirety of kind of the system. So it's a much more global factor. Like usability will only be a problem for users who use maybe Google Chrome in Germany or something, or who only use Google Chrome on Android in version X. But availability will be a factor which is relevant to all users, right?
Yeah, but this character is not used by every single language, right? It's only in the German language that it's used. So to your point, it is going to be the main users of this character that are going to be affected by the resolution issue, right? And what these statistics show is that in Germany, Chrome is the largest, Chrome and Firefox. Well, Chrome is the largest browser. So what you're saying is that putting the LGR, regardless that most German users will get their websites wrong, right? They want to enter a labeled using the sharp edge, but they will go to a different or a, you know, blank page or a different website. Is that what you are suggesting? That usability is more important than stability?
I think the situation was framed wrongly. So it will only stop users from the main community, which is the German speaking community, if they have the expectation that one results to the other, which they may or may not have, that is on a level of DNS, because they're used, for example, to it not being resolved in the level of second level and further levels. So it's not clear if it will be a problem to that user community. However, the rest of the internet also may access such labels, for example, because there may be some service which is there may be some service or some company or whatever which is internationally operating. And if that is the case, then even other users will access such labels. And to give you an example, in the case of the Arabic script label generation rules, there was quite a bit of discussion regarding what they called international availability, because different code points in the case of Arabic script resolve in different ways depending on which code page you have on your keyboard, so to speak, or which locale you have on your system. So, and despite the fact that some of these code points are only used by, for example, a small minority. So for example, 80% use one standard, but only 20% use that other thing, which doesn't resolve correctly. The Arabic script LGR took care to actually have kind of like a variant relationship supported by a whole label evaluation rule to ensure that this is included despite the instability. So there are previous cases in other LGRs where a similar situation occurred and was treated in such a manner where it was covered by a variant despite some potential, which seems parallel, for misresolution. So also in that case, I think the Arabic scripts generation panel decided that availability at the top level, that is inclusion, is much more important than the other factors, if the other factors can be mitigated in some way. I hope that's enough. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I want to react to that before giving the mic to Matt. So I read the Arabic LGR, and there is no such case. I mean, I have no knowledge of any other character that is locale dependent, like the dotless I in the Arabic script. What you're speaking of about the usability, international usability reasons as to do variant code points has nothing to do with what we are discussing right now with a sharp S. So it's not relevant as to that point.
Sorry, how is that different? The situation with the
there is no change in the Arabic script. There is no change of code points or resolution at any point. That I'm aware of.
There is. There was. Sarmat explained this at length, for example, regarding the Pakistani community. So if you have a, it depends on how the characters resolve. I have to look up the stuff in the Arabic script LGR.
No.
But I remember there was a case like this. It had to do with the ya, and there was like a standard ya. There was a ya without dots below, which was also occurring in Arabic, but which was replacing the ya with the dots below in, for example, Iranian language user community. And
yeah,
Pakistan was like halfway in between somehow.
What you're speaking of, Meika, sorry to interrupt, what you're speaking of is how different languages use the Arabic script and how these characters may seem they are deemed equal to them, and that's why they come up with this variant relation. But there is no mixing, or there is no redirection as to one label goes to a different label during the DNS resolution. It's how they, because of the language use of the script, is that they came out with those characters. I mean, you are pretty much what the Arabic script would be. It's something. Let me think about something that it's more, maybe it's like, you know, American English and British English, how certain words are spelled differently but mean the same. And like theater with ending ER or instead of ending with RE, right? Same word, same meaning. The script is used differently in those two languages to represent the same concept. But we're not talking about that in the Latin script. In the Arabic script, they felt that was important, and therefore they came up with those variant relationships. But that's not the case that we're talking about the sharp S.
I'm sorry, but linguistically, this is exactly what we're talking about regarding sharp S, because those are two characters. Or one character plus a sequence of characters are kind of considered interchangeably, and depending on which country you are, you would spell it in one way or the other way, right?
Okay, so Michael, I think we're discussing the linguistic relevance of the sharp S and the convention that it's how you map one to the other. We're not, that's, I think we all understand that. The question on the table is that more important than preserving the stability of the root zone?
Sorry,
and you are saying, yes, having that character is more important than the stability of the root zone, which I feel I think others disagree, because what you basically will be introducing is domain names going to a different place. We don't control what the browsers are going to implement. Yes, some browsers are compliant now, others, we don't know. There are no plans, we don't have visibility. ICANN has no enforcement mechanism as to saying, Chrome, you have to fully comply with IDNA 2008. No control as to the timeline or rules whatsoever. So we have to think about how do we accomplish our job within the constraints that we have and the facts and information that we have available today.
But the what you call the stability of the root zone, we just established in this matrix here that it consists of three factors, one being denial of service, one being misconnection, and the third being usability. And I was referring to that. So I think usability, in the sense of that something results in the way which someone expects, is the least important factor.
It's not the result. What do you mean the least? I mean, if I want to resolve a domain name, I want to end up in that website domain name, right? Why is it the least?
Well, but I mean, it's the same with everything. Like if I want to write an email and I want to send an email to some recipient and somehow the client implements the protocol in the wrong way, or the email server has a mistake or some error in the implementation, then also the email will not arrive. So the system is stable, the implication is faulty. So those are two different things, right?
But you're speaking, you just said it's an error, it's a bug, so it's something that has to be fixed, right? So Matt has his hand up. So let's, Matt, please.
Yeah, I think that, it's quite obvious that predictable behavior is very important on internet. I mean, if you send an email, you don't want it to work one day and not work the other day. You want it to work consistently. So rather that you know that this doesn't work at all, that's a better situation than something which sometimes works and sometimes works does not work at all. But I think that we have these weights here, and this is a proposal, and let's go to the next step. So we see the next step and we can adjust the weight further on.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. It's 6 minutes just to the top of the hour. So just doing a time check. Michael has his hand up. Please, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, just wrote something in the chat. I'm still not really happy with these attributes and their weight and stuff like that, because for me, the line four, the usability, is a logical consequence, at least mainly, of lines one and two, because if denial of service and or misconnection is not prevented, then this implies that the label resolution is not unpredictable. So assigning weights to these when one depends on the other is weird for me, at least.
Okay, thank you. Reading on the chat, usability depends on expectation of users. Yes, and the expectation is to go to the website or email that they are typing in, right? Typing into the URL browser or into the to box of an email client. That's where they want to go to. So that's the expectation of the user. I would not expect the user, a reasonable user, to say, oh, yes, let's see where I do land today, whether I go to the right website or not. That's an unreasonable expectation, right? So, yeah, I agree. The expectation of the user is to go to the place where they intended to go, not somewhere else. All right, so moving, I think in 4 minutes, I think we can say, let's start with the fair inclusion of the fair or exclude inclusion of sharp S. Let's do the rating. And as far as the rating, what we could do is this Likert type scale that I found. Either of the qualifiers, whether it strongly disagrees or the poor to excellent, I think it means conveys the same thing, but five is strongly or is it agrees more with the attribute vis-a-vis the option, whereas one is poor or strongly disagrees with the option. So for example, we established that deferring the inclusion, not having the sharp S, addresses the stability issue with that character. So in this case, preventing denial of service or misconnection, that's a 5 on each of these, as well as the usability. Because there is no label that you're going to use it, and all labels will resolve as expected. Availability, of course, if it's not here, that's going to be a 1. Following me?
Yes.
Okay.
No, could you please explain that again?
Sure. So in terms of applying the ratings, right, we're using this scale 1 through 5, where 1 is poor alignment with the attribute vis-a-vis the option, and 5 is a strong alignment with it, right? Offers the best solution or right, the best way to resolve that issue. So looking at option number 1, first column on the options, defer inclusion of the sharp S or exclusion of it. So prevent denial of service. So excluding this, excluding the option will prevent denial of service of that problem, basically addressing the stability issue. So that's a 5 because it strongly aligns with that solution. So Matt, do you want to?
Yes, I don't agree that deferring inclusion of sharp S prevents denial of service, because if you expect sharp S to be used in the domain name and there is no sharp S, then you have the denial of service. So, I mean, that's deferring it is not a good way of preventing denial of service. Well, and it's not an excellent, maybe it's a 3, maybe it's in between.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, it's the same thing as any domain name that does not exist, right? A non-existent domain name. Okay. Prevents misconnection. Michael, your hands up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Isn't the situation kind of similar in the case of prevents misconnection as what Mats just said? It doesn't fix the issue, it just circumvents it in the case. And if the issue needs to be circumvented, depends on whether there's an expectation or not, right?
Yeah, what others say? And just doing a time check, we're already past the hour, so maybe we need to postpone this for defer to the next meeting.
Yes, we should defer it for the next meeting because it is a very complex issue to solve it at the moment. So let's next day and let all of us about it. It is a little bit funny for me. Probably I will have something. Okay.
I can't hear you.
To stop the meeting now, and thank you. Hear me now.
No, we're not hearing you.
Your voice is very choppy. And now we cannot hear you at all.
Yeah, Mirjana, maybe if you wanna type on the chat. Did we lose Mirjana? Well, been 3 minutes. Oh, yeah. Okay. There you are. Go ahead, Mirjana.
I'm not sure do you hear me because I have very poor connection. So I just want the meeting and to thank you all for being present to the meeting. If you hear me, that's good. If you don't, I'm sorry. We are closing the meeting today. Thank you. Thank you all.
All right. Thank you. We'll continue next week.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.